Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today we're starting into the Book of Jacob. But before we do that, I want to give a quick recap of the story so far. The previous two books, 1st and 2nd Nephi, were written by this guy named Nephi, who was the son of a guy named Lehi. And Lehi, with his wife and kids, lived in Jerusalem approximately 600 years before Christ was born. And Lehi, the father of the family, had a vision in which God told him that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. So he packed up his family and went off into the wilderness. They dwelt in tents for a while. As they journeyed, Nephi and his brothers were sent back to Jerusalem a couple of times. First, to get some scriptures from a guy named Laban. In that encounter, Nephi stole Laban's sword and killed Laban so he could get those plates. That will be referenced briefly in this chapter. And another time, he and his brothers went back to get a man named Ishmael and his daughters so they would have people to marry. And then off they went through the wilderness. They traveled for about 8 years before they got to the ocean, and somewhere in there, Jacob and Joseph were born. Lehi and his wife Sarai had two sons. Jacob was the older of the two. We don't know exactly when they were born, and we don't know exactly how much older Nephi and his older brothers were, but they were born somewhere in there, and then the family crossed the ocean, arrived somewhere in the Americas. Lehi died, and the group broke into two warring civilizations. The Lamanites, named for Nephi's oldest brother Laman, and the Nephites, named for Nephi. And Nephi ran off, fled from his brothers after Lehi died, and started a new civilization and was sort of the king of it. He didn't want to be king, he says, but he did for his people what he could. Now, Nephi has just finished writing, and his little brother Jacob is going to take over. So here we go, starting with chapter 1, actually starting just before chapter 1 because there's a little introductory piece, and otherwise verse 1 seems to start in the middle of a sentence. So, the book of Jacob, the brother of Nephi, the words of his preaching unto his brethren, he confoundeth a man who seeketh to overthrow the doctrine of Christ, a few words concerning the history of the people of Nephi. For behold, it came to pass that 55 years had passed away from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem. Wherefore Nephi gave me, Jacob, a commandment concerning the small plates upon which these things are graven. And he gave me, Jacob, a commandment that I should write upon these plates a few of the things which I considered to be most precious, that I should not touch, save it were lightly, concerning the history of this people, which are called the people of Nephi. For he said that the history of his people should be engraven upon his other plates, and that I should preserve these plates and hand them down unto my seed from generation to generation. Now remember, Nephi had already written a record of his people. He calls it his large plates, a very detailed, apparently historical account. He also wrote a smaller account of just the spiritual stuff, and that's what we're reading right now. So Jacob is taking over that record-keeping process. Someone else is taking care of the large plates. Verse 4. And if there were preaching which was sacred, or revelation which was great, or prophesying, that I should engrave in the heads of them upon these plates, and touch upon them as much as it were possible for Christ's sake, and for the sake of our people. For because of faith and great anxiety, it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people, what things should happen unto them. Now Nephi had a vision in which he saw that, you know, a few generations after Christ came, the Nephites would be destroyed. And that was very worrisome to him. Apparently Jacob is also in on this prophecy, and so he has lots of anxiety for his people. Verse 6, and we also had many revelations and the spirit of prophecy, wherefore we knew of Christ and his kingdom, which should come. Remember, we're still hundreds of years before Christ comes, but these are very Christian people. They believe very strongly in the death and resurrection and atonement of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, wherefore we labored diligently among our people, that we might persuade them to come unto Christ, and partake of the goodness of God, that they might enter into his rest, lest by any means he should swear in his wrath they should not enter in, as in the provocation in the days of temptation while the children of Israel were in the wilderness. I'm not an Old Testament scholar, but I'm pretty sure what this is referencing to is when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. They were going to go straight to the Promised Land,
but the Israelites were a bunch of complainers, and so God said, this generation won't see the promised land, and so they wandered in the desert for 40 years until that generation had died off, and the younger generation could go in. Jacob is saying he doesn't want that to happen to his people. Verse 8, wherefore we would to God that we could persuade all men not to rebel against God, to provoke him to anger, but that all men would believe in Christ, and view his death, and suffer his cross, and bear the shame of the world. Wherefore I, Jacob, take it upon me to fulfill the commandment of my brother Nephi. Now Nephi began to be old, and he saw that he must soon die. Wherefore he anointed a man to be a king and a ruler over his people now, according to the reigns of the kings. The people having loved Nephi exceedingly, he having been a great protector for them, having wielded the sword of Laban in their defense, and having labored in all his days for their welfare, wherefore the people were desirous to retain in remembrance his name. And whoso should reign in his stead were called by the people 2 Nephi, 3 Nephi, and so forth, according to the reigns of the kings. And thus they were called by the people, let them be of whatever name they would. And it came to pass that Nephi died. Now the people which were not Lamanites were Nephites. Nevertheless, they were called Nephites, Jacobites, Josephites, Zoramites, Lamanites, Lemuelites, and Ishmaelites. But I, Jacob, shall not hereafter distinguish them by these names, but I shall call them Lamanites that seek to destroy the people of Nephi, and those who are friendly to Nephi I shall call Nephites, or the people of Nephi, according to the reigns of the kings. And now it came to pass that the people of Nephi, under the reign of the second king, began to grow hard in themselves, and indulged themselves somewhat in wicked practices, such as like unto David of old, desiring many wives and concubines, and also Solomon his son. Yea, and they also began to search much gold and silver, and began to be lifted up somewhat in pride. Wherefore I, Jacob, gave unto them these words as I taught them in the temple, having first obtained mine errand from the Lord. For I, Jacob, and my brother Joseph, had been consecrated priests and teachers of this people by the hand of Nephi. And we did magnify our office unto the Lord, taking upon us the responsibility, answering the sins of the people upon our own heads if we did not teach them the word of God with all diligence. Wherefore, by laboring with our might, their blood might not come upon our garments. Otherwise, their blood would come upon our garments, and we would not be found spotless at the last day. And that's where chapter one ends. In the next chapter, Jacob's going to start a sermon that addresses all of the things he just mentioned.